The views and opinions on this show are those of the sponsor, Janeth's Flooring and Construction.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and we are building this city with Jonathan's Construction and Flooring.
That's right.
Good morning, Jonathan Cook is here in the studio. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, so.
Good, it's Wednesday, we're making it.
It is Wednesday, middle of the week.
Yep.
I always look forward to these Wednesdays with you. Get to come in and talk and answer some questions for people.
You're fun, yeah. You know, we're having a good time. It's awesome. And I'm learning a lot from you because as I got into a little new condo, I'm having to make changes and I'm getting tips from Jonathan and everybody that's texting in. And remember, he's like the expert on construction and flooring in our area. I don't know, how many homes have you done now in Pensacola probably?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. We do about 300 a year.
Golly.
So we've been doing it 21 years.
All now, different age homes, different
right,
styles.
And you got to remember, we probably didn't do 300 starting off.
Right.
It was much smaller. So over the years, it's grown to that.
Sure.
So I don't know, a few thousand for sure, though.
Okay. So if you hear that and you're sitting here debating about whether you want to remodel your bathroom or do I do vinyl plank or top, this is the guy to ask. 850-437-1620. Call in, text in this morning. We would love to hear from you.
And I'm happy to answer those questions.
Yeah. And in the meantime, in case someone doesn't know who you are, just talk a bit about where you started, who you are, what you do, because I know I've touched on a little bit, but
right.
Give us a little background.
Okay. I mean, who doesn't know me, though?
There we go. Now the truth comes out.
So I'm Jonathan Cook with Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. And so we started in 2005 as a home remodeling business, and then I expanded into flooring. And so we have a retail flooring store and, you know, building and property and things like that. But what we specialize in really is flooring, because we have a flooring store, and we take it very serious. We import our own goods. We go to trade shows and we try to stay up to date on what's latest and newest, and also what kind of flooring for each house. A lot of people don't realize that you need different types of flooring for different houses so that it holds up over time. Because it's one thing, anybody can just go out there and sell you some flooring for your house.
Well, sure.
But if you haven't been in this business a long time and you haven't put the time and effort into researching it, and you're selling someone the wrong kind of flooring, it's not going to hold up. So that's one of the things that I pride myself in. Like, I do a lot of estimates still for the company, and I enjoy doing the estimates. So I do them Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it gives me a chance to go look at it and see what we're putting in and make sure it's the right product for the job. So we do that, and then we do full house renovations. So pretty much any kind of, you know, interior, bathroom, kitchen, you know, sheetrock, painting, trim, doors, windows, and we do exterior too. So we do a little bit of everything. We're state licensed building contractors, and we have 45 guys on staff.
Wow.
So
I didn't realize you had that many.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, 45 guys. So, and those are all in-house. I don't really like to call them employees, but I would say team members.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
That's true. And a lot of the guys have been with you a long time. And what I think is kind of interesting that we've talked about before is that you've got folks now that have specialized in certain areas, right?
Yes, we do.
So you have a guy that's really good at one thing.
And people ask me, they'll be like, how many employees do you have? And it's a term I don't like at all,
mm-hmm.
you know, so always, you know, we'll work my way around that. But the reality is, some of the guys, like you said, have been with me so long, you don't really think of them as employees anymore. I mean,
right.
they're partners with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I, some of my main guys, if I lost them, I'd be devastated. You know, I mean, they're partners
yeah.
at this point. So that's the way I like to think about them. But a lot of them do, you know, individual things, which is the way we like to have it. So when we started off 20 years ago, we probably had two or three guys and we all did everything.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of little operations that do that, and there's nothing wrong with it. But over time, you come to realize, hey, you know, if you have one guy that just does sheetrock and that's all he does every day, he can get good at it
mm-hmm.
and professional at it and efficient at it. And when you're efficient at something, you can afford to do it for a reasonable price. You don't got to get a ridiculous price, because we're going to get in, get it done, get out, you know?
Right.
So we've built our team out like that, and that's why we have so many people. So we have a sheetrock crew, we have 3 painting crews, 4 flooring crews, 3 wow. carpenter crews.
Wow.
And when I say carpenter, you know, like woodwork, trim, mm-hmm. cabinets, stuff like that. And then we have a maintenance crew that comes in and just, you know, ties up at the end with all the little stuff. But it's just the way we like to do it, and it's worked well for us, and I think it works well for our customers.
Great. Well, here's a question already popped in this morning. If you've got a question for Jonathan, really about anything that has to do with remodeling, reconstruction, flooring, please send it in at 850-437-1620. First one out of the box, this is a good one. What is your favorite thing, Jonathan, to do in the industry if you had to pick one trade?
Well, I mean, I almost have to say flooring because I promote that so much and I'm good at it.
Ah, there you go.
So if I just...
Why? What is it you like about flooring?
Okay, so one of the things I like about it is the fact you can just get in there, you can make a big difference in the house in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can change a whole look of the house in just a little bit of time and a reasonable price. The second thing I like about it is you get to sell a product. Anytime you're running a company, which I never realized this in the beginning, but it's one thing to have a service company and do remodeling.
Right.
But you're only getting paid for physically working.
True.
When you have a flooring store or a product that you can sell, then you get to make money off the material and the labor, and therefore brings the cost of the entire thing down. Because if all I'm doing is the labor on that job, then I need to, say, make $2 a square foot to be profitable to go out there.
Sure.
But now that I sold you the material, if I can make 50 cents a square foot on the material and $1.50 a square foot on the labor, I'm still making my same $2, but I'm much more competitive in price. So anytime you can offer a product with your service, mm-hmm. I think that's a win for you as far as revenue base and also for your customer too.
Well, and you do have a flooring store. You should probably tell everybody where that is.
Yep. So you can come check us out. It's Jonathan's Flooring. It's on Palafox Street. We're at 9320 North Palafox. You know, obviously you can call or text into the show and answer your questions, but if you don't get on, don't worry. Just give us a call afterwards at our office, 850-332-5905. And like I said, I do estimates every Tuesday and Thursday. Steve that works with me also does estimates, but I do a big majority of them. And so if you have anything you're thinking about doing or just want to get some information on, just give us a call and get an estimate. It's a free estimate, and it's a good place to start.
Well, and I sit here and I listen to you. We have gotten to know Jonathan now the last few months, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, the difference between flooring on a beach house, flooring in a house up in Cantonment, flooring in a house in downtown Pensacola in a house that's 200 years old. I mean, it's got to be
really
quite
does
a
vary.
Challenge.
It really does.
So let's keep it interesting
and,
for you.
True. It does. It does vary. And the thing about it, it can vary within the same neighborhood.
Sure.
Depending on the type of house, whether you have a house that's on a slab or you have a house, you know, off grade. And also depending on what you want to do with the house.
Right.
I mean, if you're just, you know, say if you're just a couple living there and mm-hmm. you're working a lot and you're not home a lot, your floors aren't getting a lot of wear and tear. If you're making an Airbnb and you got steady traffic in and out, that's a whole different story.
Well, you have 4 dogs and 3 cats.
Or you have 4 dogs and 3 cats.
That can make a difference. I mean,
definitely can make a difference. I mean, dogs and cats can be more damaging on floors than people sometimes,
right?
And sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
So it just really does depend on every house is a little different, you know?
Okay, we got a question about this. Someone texted in thinking about removing roughly 1,000 square foot of tile out of my house. Any tips?
So I would definitely probably call somebody and give that job away if I were doing that job. But so what we do, I mean, definitely one thing you got to do is make sure you plastic it all up good. Taking
what
the tile
does that mean?
Up, you know, just plasticking, covering everything up, plastic off the area real good. Try to get maybe an air mover or something like a fan or something in the door to get
saying.
The dust out of there.
It has a lot of dust when you tear it out.
It is. And so the biggest problem with it is we can go in there and we use chipping hammers. So chipping hammers with like a 4-inch blade on them. And so you can go to Home Depot and rent one if you don't have one to do that with. But so go in there and take a chipped hammer and bust up all the tile. It's a lot of physical work. It's not too hard. But when you get done with that, then you got to get all that thin set up. So that's all the mud they put the tile down with.
Oh.
And so we got to take those same chipping hammers and we start at the beginning and we just start slowly, you know, chipping the thin set up.
Mm-hmm.
And all that thin set creates a lot of dust. And that's really where the work is. When you say it takes a week to get 1,000 square foot of tile up, a lot of that work is within the removal of the thin set under the tile.
Interesting. Does that go on top of a concrete slab, or is that so typically on top of wood?
Yeah, generally. I mean, so if we sell tile, we like to sell it to go on top of a concrete slab because it bonds and holds up better.
Mm-hmm.
And also, tile's, you know, essentially like concrete. You know, it doesn't flex or give. And so if you have a wood subfloor and it flexes or gives, then the tile is going to crack.
Oh.
So we do put it on wood subfloors, but we got to create a mud bed. So mm-hmm. we're going there and we will do thin set, and then we will do dura rock, and then thin set on top of the dura rock to create a mud bed before we lay the tile. And in a lot of cases, it adds a lot of cost to the job. Mm-hmm. And then so, you know, a lot of people won't end up doing tile on wood subfloors because, one, it adds a lot of cost to the job to do it. And secondly, it's never going to hold up as well on a wood subfloor. And just if it ever flexes, you know, a house is going to naturally settle and move. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are in hurricane season. We get a hurricane. The wind hits the house. It's going to shift an off-grade house. And all that can affect your floors and crack them.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you probably, because my thought is, oh, I'll replace the tile. I'll just take out the old tile and I'll put down the new tile. But I didn't know anything about the subfloor and the thin and all that. Because it's much more complicated than just that.
And some people will go in there and they'll start demoing the tile and they're getting knocked out and done. Some people say, hey, I'm going to do this myself. And I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, you know, if you need help, call us. And they'll call a couple weeks later and be like, hey, I got it all demoed. And it'd look great. And they want us to come and solve for them, you know. And other people will get in there and they'll start doing it and they'll call
me.
Us.
I'm in that category.
An hour later.
I'm in that category. Thank you.
Honestly, if it were my house and I had to do it by myself without my guys helping, I wouldn't want to take on 1,000 square foot of removal. Not all by my lonesome, no.
No, probably
it's
not.
It's a lot of work.
Where are you seeing us, now that we're talking about tile and some of the trends in tile now? Because I think of the old-fashioned tile, you get the old houses, almost something kind of cool about that vintage tile. But now it's a lot slicker, I guess.
Right. Well, okay. So, one of the trends is covering it up. So you ain't got to take the tile up. You can you can fill in the grout lines with like a self-leveling floor patch and go right over the top
really?
Of it. Really? I mean, tile, like that I said, essentially is like concrete. It's just making your concrete slab a little thicker.
Uh-huh. That sounds kind of reasonable.
So that's a very good option sometimes, especially occupied houses.
Right.
So that's one thing. But past that, a lot of the trends that we're seeing are larger tiles. You know, people don't want grout lines because grout lines are a lot of work to clean and keep up with.
Absolutely.
And you can seal them and stop dirt from getting in them, things like that. But that's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And you got to seal it every so often. And a lot of people just don't think about it or just forget. I mean, I have tile in my laundry room and my bathrooms, and I probably haven't sealed it in the last couple of years because I get home and you've been working all day. You don't feel like doing it. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, a lot of people try to get smaller grout lines. So used to be we would do like a quarter inch.
I remember, especially in the kitchen.
But now we're seeing 1/8 inch and 1/16 grout lines and bigger tiles. So a 12 by 24 is a very common tile.
Really? That big?
Yeah. Wow. And so used to be you wouldn't see that unless you had like a whole house of it.
Right.
But now we're seeing 12 by 24 just in a bathroom or a laundry room.
Really?
It's very common.
Okay, that's interesting.
And then pattern. You know, we've seen a lot of the, like you said, the old that looks like got the design
the vintage,
on it. And some of the brighter colors are coming back.
Really?
Some of the brighter colors for like, you know, greens and oranges and blues and
orange
things like
floors?
That.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Well, so not orange floor, but they're using it for like backsplash.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay,
like backsplash around bathtubs.
No, that makes more sense. Okay.
Or accent behind the shower valve in the shower.
Okay.
You know, you'd be surprised. You put a little bit of orange into a house. If the house is designed around it, it mm-hmm. might pull in and look really good.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, thinking about it, you're like, how's that going to look? But then in the end, you're like, wow, this looks really good. And it's something that everybody else doesn't have, something a little different, you know?
Yeah, well, so. You know, we're coming up on SEC season now and stuff. So there's a lot of orange there. And I'm a red and black kind of gal.
Right.
There's never going to be an orange in my house.
I'm
Auburn.
Red and black, too. You see,
yeah,
I wear
Auburn,
red
Florida.
Shoes. So.
Yeah, this is not happening.
Yeah, red and black
Sorry,
are my
Florida
company
fans.
Colors. So not happening in my house either.
Okay, we got another question that just came in. This is a whole different topic, but one that I also sympathize with. How have any ideas on, you ready, removing popcorn from the ceiling?
Yeah. This
is what we've all got.
Right. And I think that's a little bit of everybody in not just Pensacola, but all around the country. Because in the 90s, it was huge. Everybody
wanted
popcorn.
Why did they do that? Can you explain why that was so popular?
You know, okay. So some of it is just one is trend, you know.
Was it a spray? They sprayed it on?
Yes. So anytime you're building new construction, you know, mm-hmm. builders always want to maximize what they're getting for what they're paying. So in other words, they want it as cheap as possible.
Right.
That's no secret. That's most builders. So when we go in there and we do sheetrock, we will hang the sheetrock, float it, skim it out, and then do like a light texture on it. When they do popcorn, they will hang the sheetrock, they will tape it, bed it, they might touch it up and they spray popcorn over it. Mm. And so they don't go in there and they don't sand it or anything like that.
Is that kind of cheating in a way?
In some ways it is. So a lot of times when we take the popcorn off, mm-hmm. we will find that all it's been done is the sheetrock has been taped and bedded in. It was never floated, skimmed, or touched up.
Wow.
Because they cover it with popcorn. So that's one reason, because they get the sheetrock done cheaper. The second reason is when they do spray the popcorn, they don't paint over it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go in there and they finish a sheetrock and just texture it, they're going to have to prime and paint the ceiling. Opposed to popcorn, they spray it and they're done. No,
right.
No prime, no paint.
Typically white color.
Right. Yeah. So most of these older houses, not even older houses, but 90s model houses that have popcorn, you will start scraping the popcorn and find out that it has never been primed or painted.
Wow.
Which is actually a really good thing if you want to remove it, because mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to remove. Now, if you go in there and you start trying to remove it and it has been painted, a lot of times it won't come off. And so
really?
What we do is we just scrape over it, we knock all the bumps off of mm-hmm. it to kind of level it out, and then we will do a full skim coat over the ceiling. So we'll start at one side and we'll cover the whole ceiling with mud, skim
wow.
it out, box it out, and then sand it smooth, and then I try to talk people into retexturing it
mm-hmm.
With something really light, like a light lemon peel or orange peel. I think it's better than slick
right.
than slick sheetrock when it's older sheetrock.
Mm-hmm.
If you're starting brand new, it's okay to go ahead and slick it out. But when you're dealing with older sheetrock, it's hard to ever get it perfect. And a lot of people don't realize when it's slick, you see every imperfection in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll remove the popcorn. We will, bed it, because most of it hadn't been bedded. Skim it, touch it up.
And when you say bed it, what does that mean?
So just another coat of mud.
Oh, so mud. You're putting mud. Okay.
So mud. So in most cases when they do popcorn, they will just do one coat of mud. They're mm-hmm. tape it and one coat of mud.
Mm-hmm.
And when if there weren't popcorn going up, we would tape it and do three coats of mud on it. So that's the difference.
So if you wanted to do your living room, let's say, how long does that take, that process? I guess it depends on what type of popcorn it is.
How big is the living room,
True, right.
How tall are the ceilings,
yeah.
If it's been painted or not. But generally, you should be able to go in there and scrape the ceiling in a day. So a lot of it comes down to if the house is occupied and how occupied the house is,
mm-hmm.
like how much furniture is in there that you're working around. If it's an empty house, we can go in there and scrape the popcorn in one day and then touch it up and be texturing it the next day and be done. But if it's, a lot of furniture, and so you might have to cover all that up, and then you kind of just work in room by room or one spot at a time, it can definitely, it can definitely take longer. So it really does depend on the house. But it's not an overly big project like you think.
It would be for me, but...
it's not a small project.
Like it, yeah.
Right, it's not a small project, it's not as bad as taking tile up.
Okay.
It's easier
That's
than taking truthful. Tile up.
Talking with Jonathan Cook with Jonathan's Construction and Flooring on Pep Talk, 850-437-6020. Got another question for you. It's been really moist lately with all the rain. I just discovered mold in my laundry room. What do I do? In the wall, so maybe the floor.
So depending on, how you're going to tackle that, if you're going to hire a company to come mm-hmm. in and take care of that for you, or if it's something you're trying to do yourself. If it's something you're trying to do yourself, I would definitely get a dehumidifier in there, because
mm-hmm.
that could do more good than anything, just getting the moisture out of the air. Because if you don't get that moisture out of the air, it's going to sit there and it's going to just start, getting worse and growing and things like that.
I was in a place once where I didn't know I had the mold, and I moved some furniture and there was the shape of my dresser was mold.
Right.
It was terrifying. I had no idea it was there.
Well, just because mold likes to grow in dark,
right.
Damp, and wet areas.
Right.
Sunlight kills mold.
Mm-hmm.
Just natural sunlight
mm-hmm.
Will kill it, or a UV light. So that's what I would do. I'd probably get a dehumidifier in there, and then, if we were doing the job, we'd probably bring in a mold remediation guy to check it, and then we would cut sheetrock and remove it. A lot of times, if it's just like a laundry room like that, it's not even worth treating the sheetrock, in my opinion.
It's
I just cut it and get it out of there. Right.
So
we just cut the sheetrock, take it out, and then treat the wood behind it. We can put a micro band on it,
mm-hmm.
Just kind of treat the mold, and then dehumidifiers and, UV light, things like that. In most cases, we will use a mold remediation guy to do those things.
Okay.
And then we'll come put the sheetrock back in, and then we'll do the trim, painting, and such. We'll put it all back together when they're done.
That's what I would do. I'm going to call Jonathan.
Yes. But if you're doing it on your own, start with the dehumidifier.
Okay.
Because getting the moisture out and getting it dried out is going to do more than anything. Even if it doesn't get rid of the mold it has, it's going to stop it from growing and, continuing.
Right, because it only gets worse if you don't do something.
Gets worse, yes.
Don't put it off, right?
Right.
Okay, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk with Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. Jonathan Cook is here, our expert on the expert panel. Okay, we've got hurricane. We're right in the middle of it. We're seeing the stuff getting active in the Atlantic. Any thoughts about how folks can kind of prepare for what's coming as far as things they can do at home? And what are you seeing? What are the things y'all offer in terms of that?
Well, so a lot of people will, they're of course, your doors and windows. You know, we've mm-hmm. talked about that before, just having high impact glass or hurricane shutters over them. Your fencing, you know, to make sure your fencing's secure, because that's one thing that they can get blown over pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I have a chance to attach the fence to the house, I always think that's important.
Oh, really? That's
interesting. Yeah, just like an L bracket, just mm-hmm. a little L bracket attached fence to the house. And the reason why is because in most insurance policies, once it's attached, it's part of the house and covered under the homeowner's insurance.
Mm-hmm.
When opposed, if it's not attached to the house, it has to be covered in other structures insurance.
Really? That's
yes.
a big loophole.
That's And important. So most policies will have other structure as well, you know, but some I've seen it multiple times where fence will get blown down, like you have no other cover structure.
Gosh,
you know?
Yes.
So it's not covered. And that's going to go for your porches, you know, your porch roofs, your carport, anything like that. We build a carport on the side of the house, it needs to be attached to the house because then it's covered under that homeowner's insurance.
That
policy.
Is a great tip, Jonathan. Wow.
So that's one thing that I always look for. But other than that, I mean, it's not really much you can do that you haven't already done. You know, mm-hmm. if your roof's good and your windows and you got hurricane shutters, and just make sure there's not a lot of little stuff laying in your yard. That's pretty big because
right.
the wind will pick it up and throw it. And like, it may not, you know, rip your siding off, but if there's little stuff that it can throw around and put dents and dings and stuff into mm-hmm. it or break the vinyl siding, that's always common and happens, you know.
Okay, that's some great tips. I love the insurance. Anything that can save you money in insurance, that's
right.
a great tip.
And they
tip.
Can always call us to come out and take a look too, if they want to just get an estimate or anything or just even need information. We never mind coming out.
Okay.
And they can call our store at 850-332-5905 or just stop by our store and see us in person at 9320 North Palafox Street, Pensacola.
Okay, well, we've got another question coming in. Yeah. It's busy this morning.
All right.
Okay, Jonathan, can vinyl plank be used in a camper?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
How would that work?
Well, it works just like any other floor. You just put it down on it. You know?
I'm like, I don't know. What's in a camper? I don't know what the floor of a camper would be like.
I mean, think about it. You know, a camper is kind of like a mobile home, right?
Right.
So it's just the only difference in a camper and a mobile home is you can drive it.
Mm-hmm.
But especially if you do like a floating vinyl plank, because then it's floating over the top of your, you know, existing floor. And so it's going to have that mobility to flex and move. In fact, we actually did a camper for a military person out in Fort Walton Beach.
Oh, okay.
At that military base out there. The thing about it is campers aren't very big, so you're not going to need a whole lot.
Right, right.
I mean, you probably do the whole thing with like 6 or 7 boxes. This is not going to be an expensive job.
Nice.
And I always tell people with small areas like that, go ahead and get whatever it is you want. Get mm-hmm. the nicest one we have because it's only going to be 6 boxes. So it's not going to be a lot of money no matter
right.
what you pick.
Okay, got another question back to what we were talking about in terms of insurance. Someone said, would a porch, so if the porch is not attached with brackets, it will not be covered under the house? Would it be covered under other structures?
So I'm not an insurance adjuster, so it is a good question to ask an insurance guy. My experience of dealing with it, and I'm not an insurance guy, but my experience in dealing with adjusters, whatever's attached to the house is covered under the homeowner's policy. And if it's not attached to the house, it has to be covered under other structures
mm-hmm.
insurance. So with the deck not being attached to the house, I think it would come down to the adjuster you get.
Right.
But keep in mind, we have a hurricane and it messes up the whole city. They're looking for every excuse not to pay something. So
mm-hmm.
If they can get out of paying or say, oh, it's not covered, they're going to do that. I had an adjuster tell me this, and so this is back after Hurricane Ivan a long time ago. I went and did a quote on this lady's house to replace the sheetrock on the ceilings. The roof had blown off, a bunch of water got in, and you know, stuff like that. And so I noticed when he sent me his quote, there was no insulation on the quote.
Oh.
And I asked him, I was like, hey, what about the insulation in the attic? Because I know it got wet when the roof blew off and it
needs
to be replaced, you know? And he was like, well, he's like, we don't generally, you know, pay for insulation up front. But he's like, then if it's something that needs to be done and the contractor brings it up, then we will pay for it. So in other words, they're not going to pay for it unless I say something and
right.
ask for it.
And
this is what
print.
You're dealing with sometimes when you have all these adjusters come in and the whole city's messed up, and they can get out of paying for insulation, which is like $2,000. You add that up over thousands of houses, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
So I would just, if I could, I would attach the porch just to be safe.
And read the fine print now before the storm comes and talk to your insurance broker, whoever sold you the policy.
Yeah.
And get those answers.
Right, because most of your local insurance brokers, I mean, these guys aren't paying the policy. They want you to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time you can go talk to them and they will explain it to you and probably explain it a lot better than I can.
Okay, well, we're talking with Jonathan Cook with Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. If folks want to take advantage of your services, we're down to the end of the half hour. Give them your information, John, so they can reach you.
Okay, so I'm Jonathan. I own Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. Feel free to give us a call, 850-332-5905, or stop by our store on Palo Fox Street, 9320 North Palo Fox Street. See Sherry or Beck in there and schedule your appointment. Or look us up on Facebook, Jonathan's Construction and Flooring, or just call in next Wednesday, and
there
I'll be
go.
Here with Meg.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan. This is Pep Talk.